story. And then we're going to go to this journal of Joseph and hear what he has to say about it tonight. Jason.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
So what if we found Joseph's journal? What might Joseph have said about this? Can't believe this is happening to me. I really thought we could build a life together. Okay, I'm just a poor carpenter from Nazareth. All I ever wanted was a simple, quiet life raising children with Mary, teaching them to work with wood, raising them to know and love God. I thought that's what Mary wanted too. And now I find out she's expecting. How could Mary do this to me, to us? She's carrying someone else's child. We were betrothed. She had committed to me. And already she's been unfaithful. Now what do I do? The law says I should expose her infidelity and break the engagement. My name and reputation are at stake. Mary's pregnancy will become more and more obvious, and if I don't break this off, people will think I'm the father. That's exactly what people would have thought, right? But I love her. I don't want to add to her shame, so I'll do it privately and quietly. I won't make a scene. Oh, Mary. Why? Actually, I don't even care about the shame that this might cause me. What really hurts is being rejected by Mary. Obviously, she's found someone she prefers over me. It goes on with another journal entry. What a dream! I had to throw water on my face and run around the wood shop a few times to make sure I was actually awake. I can see Joseph doing that. This wasn't my typical dream about forgetting someone's furniture order or running short of materials, and I know it wasn't caused by eating a bad fig. No, this was too real to be just another dream. This was an angel visit. This one was a direct message from God. The angel even addressed me by name, Joseph, son of David. Of all things, he told me to marry Mary. And he told me I could do so because God has placed that baby in her. She will give birth to a son. And the angel even gave us his name, Yeshua, Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Can this really be? Is this miraculous conception God's way of sending us the deliverer? And why Mary? In fact, why me? Well, at least this solves my dilemma about breaking the engagement. But this road might be even harder. Mary and I will have to bear the shame together. Others won't understand that this child is God's son. How could they understand? Oh my, I'm just beginning to wrap my brain around how this will radically change my life. I'm going to be a husband much sooner than I thought. I'm going to be a father much sooner than I had planned. And our son will be the promised Messiah, the deliverer, the Savior. My son will be the very Son of God. My son will have two fathers. God, you are asking me to be a surrogate father to your son. You want me to raise a king to comfort the Creator, to be a guide for God. How can this be? How can I do this? I'm just a poor carpenter. That's what he says. But I will do this. I will obey. The angel of the Lord has spoken. I will not brush off this dream like it was yesterday's wood shavings. I accept this responsibility. I will take Mary home as my wife.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Another journal entry. Caesar strikes again. My plan to set up shop and home with Mary in Nazareth would have been challenging enough, but the Roman emperor has cut short those ideas. He issued a decree that a tax census should be taken across the entire Roman world. And now I have to travel to my place of birth to register, to Bethlehem. The foot traffic all over Palestine is going to be horrendous. It's 70 plus miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. This is like a huge splinter under my skin. It was going to be hard enough to provide for God's son in my little woodworking shop in Nazareth. How will I take care of the baby in a town where I won't even have a house or a job? And how can we even make this journey with Mary being so far along in her pregnancy? Oh God, why does life have to be so difficult? But there are no options. Caesar has made his decree, and the baby is coming, and soon. God help me shoulder this load. I can carry our belongings and put them on a donkey. I can even carry Mary if I must, but I need you to carry me. Tomorrow we set out across the hills on our 4 or 5 day journey to Bethlehem. God, watch over your son. And watch over us, your children. What a night it was last night. Just as I had feared, all the guest lodging was already filled by others traveling to Bethlehem for the census. It seemed like God had abandoned us. I felt so helpless and powerless. I couldn't provide for my wife at her moment of greatest need. I pounded on door after door till finally found a stable, an animal shelter. Animal shelter. I threw down some fresh hay. I laid out a blanket. I tried to make Mary as comfortable as possible. And God did the rest. Our baby was born. And for such a miraculous baby, it was a rather ordinary birth, if there is such a thing at all. Mary wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a feeding trough. As Mary rested from her labor, I picked up the crying baby Jesus and held him close. For the first time in months, I felt at peace. As I held the 8 pounds of flesh and bone, 8 pounds of God, all the weight of the past 9 months began to slide from my shoulders. All the shock, the shame, the responsibility, the pressure, the stress, and the anxiety, it all faded as I looked into the face of my son, who was God's son. Time stood still as I looked into the eyes of eternity. And my eyes began to fill with tears as I realized I was holding my Messiah, my King, my Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, God with me, resting quietly in my arms. I turned Jesus' face toward the starry heavens. Son, behold your Father. God gave Joseph a precious gift of being able to raise his son. He placed his own son in Joseph's arms. And God offers his son to us, and that's the wonderful, personal, intimate news of the Christmas story that we want you to hear tonight, is that God has offered his son, he's been willing to place his son in our arms, to have a relationship with him too. Probably the most famous verse in the whole Bible. If people don't know any other verses, they know this one, John 3:16. Says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. So tonight I hope you're asking that question. Have you believed in him? Have you held the Lord Jesus? Have you come into a relationship with him? Have you experienced what Joseph experienced? Surely that dropping away of all the stress and the anxiety of that his life must have held at that moment when he then in turn held the very Son of God. If tonight you realize, maybe for the first time, that you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, then we want for you at this Christmas Eve service tonight to receive the greatest gift ever given. The greatest gift ever offered, the gift of God's Son, Jesus. And receiving that gift is as simple as a prayer like this. Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of your forgiveness. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose again from the grave to give me that gift of eternal life. And I accept you as my Savior. If you're here tonight and you've never said that in some way, prayed that prayer in some form to receive God's gift of salvation, we invite you to receive that tonight. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this very familiar but very personal Christmas story. Lord, thank you for this perspective of Joseph, that though he was an ordinary carpenter, he was given this amazing responsibility, this amazing privilege of being father to your son. And Lord Jesus, as we think of Joseph on this night, on this Christmas Eve, we think of Joseph holding the baby Jesus. It's a reminder to us that you offer your son to us, not just to Joseph, not just to Mary, not just to the shepherds. You've offered Jesus to us. So Lord, I pray that we would receive him. Lord, if there's anybody in this room tonight that's never made that decision, never received that gift, never confessed their sin and received you as Savior, I pray that they would receive that gift, take that step, make that decision tonight. And Lord Jesus, I pray this would be the most memorable Christmas Eve ever for some who are here tonight. Lord, thank you for your precious gift. We worship you as our Savior and as our King tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.